The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey Haworth, and my co-host, Kara, is MIA. I thought she was going to be here today. Apparently, she is not, which leads me to no small amount of concern. So, in the interest of filling her dainty shoes, I'm like researching a lot of these UFO sightings that are going on, and it seems like a lot of them go on in Florida. We got William online. William, you there with us?
Yes, sir, I am. How are you?
Not bad. I was about to get started here just kind of talking about all the UFO sightings. And as I look at all of these UFO sightings, I see a lot of them come up in Florida. And something interesting about Florida the other day that, how they've sort of become this sort of state that we all make fun of. It seems I found out about something. This might be old news to everybody else, but there's something called the Sunshine Act. And the Sunshine Act is something that goes on in Florida where all their arrests are public record. And so I'm not entirely so sure that Florida is any more shady than the rest of us. Because as I read the UFO sightings and stuff like that, a lot of them are coming out of Florida. And today's show, we're talking about credibility in the UFO community. And I was thinking, I wonder how much this is helping the UFO community. So I thought I'd give Florida a break and say that the only reason why you're getting this bad rap is because your local government decided to air your dirty laundry.
That's a distinct possibility, yeah.
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 How are you doing today, William?
I'm good. Just trying to get through another hot day in South Texas.
Is it still hot there?
It's lowered. The highs have lowered to the mid 90s.
Yeah,
which doesn't sound too bad, but usually August is the hottest month where we average like 101 degrees Fahrenheit. So at 95 degrees is a break.
Same here. We actually had a fairly reasonable summer. It seems to be we actually opened the windows the other day.
That's great.
I know, that's wild.
I'm not sure if my window's open anymore. We'll see.
Right. Yeah. It might be melted shut.
Possibly, yeah. It's crazy. Outrageous.
All right. Yeah. So our topic today that we're really talking about, and by the way, for the listeners at home, our guest is William Pullen. And our topic today that we're talking about is sort of credibility in the UFO community and the credibility of the UFO community at large. Do you think that the UFO community is more or less credible than they were? I look back on the UFO community. Maybe this is a good place to start. When do you think the heyday of credibility for the community was?
I don't know if there ever really was one. But at certain parts of the history of the UFO community, I guess we could say since the late 40s, there's been times where there have been civilian organizations that have been pretty credible. Their approach to investigations has been with high level of integrity, a high level of professionalism, pretty scientific. And then there have been other times where investigative efforts have kind of waned a little bit. And there's some individuals that have become celebrities in the community that have been a little less credible, whose backgrounds have been a little shaky. So it kind of comes and goes. I don't know if there was really a heyday, but in the modern era and today's environment, I think there's a little problem with credibility, a little bit. Although the other side of the coin, the UFO issue is a little more in the news now because the media is covering it in a legitimate light. So there's kind of a double edge to that. So
right.
But I think there definitely is. There's an issue with credibility now because there are certain individuals in the community that aren't, they're not conducting themselves with a high level of professionalism. And I'm a big stickler for that, especially when you're, I guess when one individual is a black sheep, it paints the entire community in a bad light. And that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I had written something in the post about the show when we posted it up on Facebook that we sort of live in this day and age where half the country doesn't trust one another. A large portion of the country just doesn't trust anybody at all. And then there are a lot of people out there that are able to make some serious dollars off of some really wild claims, you know, from medicine to all other things. So it's like it's leaving this world of – before, I feel like, even outside of ufology, you know, I felt like before maybe you could research something a little bit and then have a grasp and make an informed decision. But at this point, the amount of research is almost not worth the effort of making that informed decision, I feel.
Agreed.
You know, it's like, it's just... Yeah. By the time you've made that informed decision, really, how relevant is what you're making your decision on any longer?
Yeah, and that's true. And another thing that's changed in recent years, well, not recent years, recent decades, is the internet. So information is more easily accessible now. So you can have someone doing research from behind a keyboard. The issue is, what percentage of the information on the internet is legitimate and valid?
Right.
That's a problem because anybody can go on the internet and just post whatever they want. So that's become an issue. The validity of information is very easy to, it's easy for someone to find information they want about a case. And if it conforms to their belief system, they're happy.
Right.
And they don't bother to do their homework and find out if the information is valid at all. And then on the other, to add to that, what you were saying, the environment we're in, has become very polarized. People don't trust each other. People don't trust anything. They don't trust their government. There's no gray area. People have their own positions, whether it's political or otherwise. And there's a lot of discourse in the country. People don't get along as well as they used to. So that kind of bleeds into, I guess on a societal level, that's true and has bled into other parts of society. And now it's bled into the UFO community now. It's reared its ugly head in the UFO issue nowadays, and that's troubling because now you have researchers that can't work together because they're of different political faiths or what have you. It's kind of a bizarre situation.
Oh, really? So right now. So people's politics is that, so I was thinking just ufology beliefs, but you're saying that their politics is putting a divide in their research.
Yes, they're. In past decades, people could overlook their personal positions because they were acting in a professional manner.
Right.
They were researching something that was distinctly separate from anything else. So their political, sexual, religious positions were non-issue because they were investigating the UFO phenomenon in a professional manner. So who they were as individuals is a non-issue.
Yeah.
Now that's changed.
I wonder how much of that is like etiquette, like they lived in a time where it wasn't something that you should discuss. Like, you know, I've kind of was raised with the idea that you don't discuss money in public, you know. And so I really just I never really talk about money in public because I was kind of raised to think that way. You know, I'm not saying it's right. It's just so I wonder if that's because now we live in a time where people live in a world where they should be screaming at the top of their lungs with social media and putting what you had for breakfast and how you feel about Beto and everything up on the internet. All right, William, we're coming up here on break. You're listening to William Pullen here on Radio Wasteland. We're talking about credibility in the UFO community. Come on back.
a jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory membership.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
We're Billy and Patrick. For our friends at Reading Kia, we've got some great news.
The Kia Summer Clearance event is going on right now with exciting deals on every vehicle in Kia's award-winning lineup.
And the awards just keep on coming.
Kia has just been named the highest-ranked mass-market brand in initial quality 5 years in a row. Highest-ranked 5 years in a row.
And right now is a great time to celebrate this achievement with the Kia Summer Clearance event.
You'll find great savings on every new 2019 and 2020 Kia.
Like the 2019 all-wheel drive Kia Sorento, the 2019 Kia Niro Hybrid.
I have one and I love it.
And the 2020 all-wheel drive Kia Sportage.
Every model in Kia's inventory is priced to go.
Check ReadingKia.com for all the details that make a great deal at Reading Kia on Cypress Avenue in Reading.
Billy is the marketing manager at Reading Kia. For J.D. Power 2019 award information, go to jdpower.com/awards for more details.
Reading Kia Summer Clearance ends September 30th, 2019. ReadingKia.com.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, William Pullen. I hadn't really thought about that, about the divide. Now this has got me thinking, you know, when we were originally talking about a divide in the UFO community, I was thinking this sort of nuts and bolts researchers and these sort of religious connection folks.
Yeah.
Is there a parallel to politics in that, or is that a separate divide in there?
There's all sorts of things that divide up the community. You're right. There's a nuts and bolts aspect. There's the segment of the community that believes in the nuts and bolts kind of theories, more of a new age approach, religious approach.
New age. That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's a good term. We might both be wrong, but even the term UFO community, no one really knows what that is defined as. It's kind of the term disclosure. No one really knows it. The definition depends on the person you ask, but having said that, yeah, there's the belief structures have their own little niches. And now you have, and I think it's a direct result of social media, because people are able to interact from behind a keyboard.
Right.
So they're not being very careful what they're saying. They can attack somebody from 1,000 miles away, as opposed to when they're actually discussing things in person. They may be far less comfortable making those kind of statements to somebody to their face. So definitely politics has now kind of bled into that polarized, fractured way the community is built now.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely understand it. Before the show, Jared and I were talking about a TV show that we watched called Carnival Row, and I wasn't sure about the acting. I thought it was a little dodgy, so I go to read the reviews, and the reviews on this thing are all political, talking about sick of having their agendas shoved down their throats and stuff like that. And finally, I read like 25 down, and one guy is just all, the writing was terrible, and all that guy knows, you know, it's like, so yeah, you know, that's definitely the case. So if somebody's going online, which is where people go now, I guess, if somebody is going to look for UFO information, contemporary UFO information, of course, the argument could be made that there's lots of great, reliable information in previous books that I'm aware that you have a reasonable library of. But in looking for contemporary information, you know, how likely is it that you think they find reliable information?
It's out there. It's available on the internet. But you have to do your homework. You can't just find a website and assume it's reputable, assume the information is valid.
Right.
The valid cases that tend to are actually grounded in reality, regardless of what the explanation is, the good information usually is on multiple websites, not just one. And there are certain websites that are clearly more reputable than other ones. Other ones are just looking for likes or selling a product or pushing an agenda or trying to control the narrative. The more high-quality websites, providing the quality information, just provide the information.
Right.
Without kind of pushing any kind of explanation. They're just giving out the facts and the details and allowing the reader to make up their own mind. So it's out there. But I'm very cautious with the internet, be it Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, or the internet at large, beyond social media. I'm very cautious about it. Because there's valid information out there, but there's so much other stuff out there that's not valid. It takes a lot of time to weed out all this stuff. And,
you know, it does, especially,
time's an issue, yeah.
You know, especially with this that is so unfacted, you know, there is very few solid concrete answers, next to no physical solid concrete evidence. And a lot of talk, you know, and the internet has given a platform to everybody. I mean, look at me. Here I am. I got a platform. You know, we're using it right now.
True. Yeah. Yeah. That's
know,
right.
So, what should we come up with? You know that. you know, sometimes Kara, when she does her news, she makes some snarky comment at the end of her news about, you know, worshiping our overlords or something like that. And I'm waiting for the day for me to read one of Kara's snarky comments in somebody else's blog about how it's the truth or something, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting. I write blog postings on my blog on Facebook, but every so often I'll write a short snippet, and I always entitle it Memo to the UFO Community.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a little saying that pops in my head, or I hear someone say something that is really thought-provoking. And I wrote down a few days ago, Member to the UFO Community, : don't be a yes researcher, be a show-me-the-data researcher.
Right.
Too many researchers are embracing everything to keep the invitations going to conferences or trying to sell a book or trying to push their own celebrity status.
Yeah, I definitely
and
agree.
I think that affects the credibility of that research. It affects their integrity.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Yeah, you know? And so my friend Rich Hoffman, who's been a researcher for decades and has great credibility and very grounded, said, amen, brother, amen, because without data and evidence, all we have is stories. That says it all right there. And he's been at this for many, many years, longer than I have been, and he has experience more than I have, and a point of view that I don't have because of that experience. And for him to say that speaks volumes. He's exactly right. Without physical evidence, without a good amount of objective data, all you have are stories, and that's not good enough. That's not good enough. It's not good enough in the scientific community. But if it's good enough in the UFO field, that doesn't help us. I mean, anybody could just make up a story, and if people believe it, that doesn't make it reality. You have to prove that story with valid evidence and data. But too often, people are willing to just believe everything and not bother to see if it's actually true.
Well, it also feels like now we're in a day and age where you can't necessarily believe the evidence and data. You know, we're sitting here talking about talking on the news and across the internet about stolen elections and proxy wars and all this stuff, and you know, very little of it has, you know, just for transparency, I did not vote for Donald Trump. But even on my side of stuff, very little of all this stuff that's been thrown out there actually has some sort of concrete thing that can be handed in front of them. But man, there's a lot of talk. And like, no matter where you are, you know, there is just a lot of talk. And, you know, you can go on CNN and you can go on Fox News and you can go on whatever website that you want. And there is a massive amount of speculation, you know. So I had somebody talking to me about Fox News, you know, my uncle. And he has different beliefs than I have, and we get along. Yeah. And he's just all, well, they have very clear reporting. And I'm just all, how can you possibly say that they have, like, clear, honest reporting? Then I realized that he was talking about the news. Part of what's been confusing to me about the internet and about the news and all this stuff is there is no definitive line between news reporting and editorial. There is this big gray area to the point where, and don't get me wrong, on both CNN and Fox News, there is a portion that is supposed to be news and a portion that's supposed to be editorial, but there's no like light that they flick on that tells you we're now in the editorial part. And we're now in the news part and stuff like that. And I think we've all become very accustomed to delivering information like that and processing information that's been thrown at us that way. And the UFO community, I think, is a prime place for speculation to get blurred together with the facts.
Agreed. Yeah, totally. You turn on the news and a journalist's job is to find information, validate the information, and give the information to the public. Mm-hmm. Their job is not to give their point of view. Their job is not to make subjective statements. Their job is to simply communicate the facts, and that's it. But so often you see journalists, newscasters, or what have you, give the story, and then they give their point of view. They give their own opinion.
Right.
That's not their job as a journalist. That's not their job, period. Going to the UFO field, too often people are misconstruing statements of belief and opinion as facts. I was on another program last month, and the host of the program said he felt that, and this is his opinion, and everyone's opinion deserves at least respect.
Of course.
His point of view was statements of belief by individuals that have certain points of view that are qualified to talk in that direction can be taken as evidence. And I had an issue with that. And he asked me my point of view, and I said, well, my point of view is, if I'm a four-star general that has served in the Army for 40 years, and I'm chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and if I say there are green cows on the moon, that doesn't make it reality. Regardless of my position in life, regardless of my credibility, statements of belief are not evidence.
Well, that's a great place for us to take a break, and we happen to be coming right up on one. You're listening to William Pullen here on Radio Wasteland. Stick around.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Vicki Will.
Mm-hmm. KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Looking for a home loan? Omega Mortgage Group built its reputation on providing low rates and outstanding customer service. We've worked hard to lower our costs so we can pass those savings on to you. There's a reason so many real estate agents, escrow officers, and other industry professionals refer their clients to Omega Mortgage Group. Contact Omega Mortgage Group today at 223-1400 or visit us at omglending.com and find out for yourself. Omega Mortgage Group is an equal housing lender. NMLS ID number 1253874.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. I'm talking to William Poland. We're talking about credibility in the UFO community. You know, William, before we went to break, we were talking about how testimony can't be considered fact and stuff like that. And that got me to thinking that surely in an exploratory part of research, and, you know, this is just playing devil's advocate to maybe back what the other guy was saying just a bit, that there is a point where, in lieu of all other facts, you maybe have to give more credence to testimony because there are no other facts. There are so few bits of information coming in. I don't know.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. And, you know, actually, I need to backtrack. He was specific. The other host I'm talking about was specific saying about his question was about statements of belief from individuals, and those statements are not really connected with a case, per se.
If you
have a case, I think firsthand testimony can be taken as evidence.
I see.
Definitely. I wholeheartedly believe that. I think what he was referring to was just random individuals that have points of view that they're communicating, and we can't just accept them at face value just because they're qualified, just because they have a certain position in the world. First-hand testimony definitely is, if collected correctly, can be hard evidence, and it's another chain of evidence that helps you along in your investigation of a case, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, really, how do you think we sort of, how do we fix this? How do we, well, let me ask you this first before we move on to some sort of solving answer, which I'm sure we won't get, but we can speculate. You know, how much information is actually out there that we think is actually hard quality information? Now, I realize most of it is a few photographs and government paperworks and stuff like this. You know, how much are we talking about? A file cabinet, a room full, a building full? You know, how much information does the UFO community have access to that we would consider reliable information?
Yeah, I can count on my hand, on one hand, the number of UFO photographs I think have held up under scrutiny that are still unexplained, that may contain images of non-terrestrial structured craft. Very few, maybe five or six at the most. I can think of two movies that were filmed back in the 50s that were examined by the military and other civilian organizations that have held up under scrutiny. They remain unexplained. That may contain images of, again, something extraterrestrial. There's a ton of data. There's a voluminous amount of sighting data, testimony, landing traces, physical changes to environment, environmental changes like to plants and animals, things of that nature, that have been documented around the world. There's radar traces. There's lots of testimony from individuals that saw the same thing from different geographical locations that don't know each other, which is pretty strong. So there's a lot of data out there. But we don't have a piece of a craft. We don't have a piece of an organic material, like a piece of a body, something that's definitively non-terrestrial, something that didn't originate from Earth. There's lots of stories about that. But as civilians, we don't have access to that, so those stories may not be true. We just don't know.
Right.
But we have a huge amount of data, though. We do have that.
And I would say that I would put a fair amount of, obviously the stuff coming out of the military isn't a hoax, or I guess maybe it is. I can't see why they would want to hoax us, but I guess it's possible. But I guess that's another example of the world we live in where I'm thinking that the hoax is the military hoaxing us into believing in aliens. I mean, you know, how far we've come for me to even suggest that, I guess.
Well, there's certainly disinformation. The military certainly has provided that on some level in past decades.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have to now, though. The UFO community does a good enough job providing itself with disinformation at this point in time. But, yeah, the military clearly has been, at the very least, very interested in the UFO topic. And they've spent taxpayer dollars to investigate what's going on. So clearly something's going on. And clearly they've been interested in it. They're just not ready to tell us, and I don't think they ever will. But
what do you think prompted them to come forward? Do you think they came forward because they were caught and the cat was out of the bag, or do you think they came forward to try to sort of look for civilian help in processing the information?
I have no idea. I've discussed this with other friends in the community, and some thought maybe it was maybe an event transpired that we don't know about yet that motivated the change. Maybe they simply wanted to be a little more open to the public on some level. Maybe they wanted to solicit, like you said, civilian slash scientific help or assistance, wrapping their head around this stuff. But I don't know. I know there's not – the media has released, or the military has released through the media, more information than they had before. But none of the information is really groundbreaking. They've admitted they're researching military UFO interactions.
I would say some of it's groundbreaking in the sense that you just told me that there were two films that you said might be unidentified flying objects, and the military just released ones and said these are. You know, so I mean, we are presented with films
that
we know these are unidentified flying objects. You know,
doesn't mean they're aliens.
I mean,
the two films that I referred to in the 50s have been out for public examination for since they were taken, really. The film they've released from gun camera footage, that's groundbreaking. That certainly adds to the amount of data we have. But we're still at an unknown. They filmed something unknown. But it does carry a lot of weight because you have trained observers, meaning military pilots, that couldn't identify what they were observing. And that goes a long way because they have a perspective and a training that you and I don't have. So their testimony is a little stronger because of that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The mere fact that I'm sure they analyzed if it was a glitch or something first before it landed in our hands. You know?
Sure. Oh, yeah. They would have done that. That's a safe assumption. Yeah.
So, I guess there's something to be said there. We know we have actual footage of UFOs and, you know, just to clarify to listeners, I think a lot of the time people think, oh, whatever, there's no UFOs. There are UFOs. The government just released some unidentified flying objects, things we don't know. The government just put them out there.
Yeah.
Are they aliens? I don't know. They might be Wakandans. That's my new suggestion. Is that Jared's shaking his head at me? Is that a no?
Yeah. And that brings up something else that you just mentioned. Yeah, UFOs exist. They may not be alien spacecraft.
Right.
But clearly unidentified flying objects have been sighted and filmed. Unfortunately, to a lot of the general public, UFO means alien spacecraft, and they don't mean the same thing.
Right. That's not synonymous.
But you're right. Unidentified objects have been filmed by our military personnel. That says a lot by itself right there.
And handed to us, which is shocking in itself. You know, it's like I can't help but to think that, you know, I want to think like they slipped this on purpose. They're trying to, prepare us. They want to distract from problems in the government, all sorts of stuff. What probably happened is somebody didn't file the right paperwork, and this information accidentally got filed in the Freedom of Information Act, and they had no choice but to back it up. You know, it's like
that has happened before. We've gotten information, we've gotten documentation about UFOs from the military because they accidentally released it to us.
Right.
That has happened on a few instances. So,
and if I had to bet, that's what I would bet went on here.
Yeah.
And they're having to cover for it. All right, we're coming up on our next break. You're listening to William Pullen here on Radio Wasteland. We're talking about credibility in the UFO community. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how to navigate it, maybe where to go to get around it, and really what to ask yourself, should I even be reading this? So you're listening to William Pullen here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
I'm here with Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar. And Bruce, there's some tax credits that are coming to an end.
The 30% federal tax credit has been around for a number of years now, and it's starting to ramp down. And this is the last year of the 30%, full 30% federal tax credit.
And Powerhouse Solar sells and installs generators?
I'm a C10 electrical contractor, and we've been doing a lot of generators this summer. A lot of people just want to have the security to be able to stay in their home when PG has these rolling blackouts. And if there's a fire or for other reasons, it just gives the customer security to know that they can stay in their home.
And Bruce, what's the difference between renting and owning your power?
When you're a utility customer, it's like you're renting power. When you have a solar system by Powerhouse Solar, you're not only, you know, making a payment to an asset that you own, but you're stopping the ever-increasing rates of PG&E or REU. So that's the beautiful thing about having solar, is that you are now an owner of your power that you produce, as opposed to being a renter of power.
Come see the design showroom at Powerhouse Solar, 4616 Caterpillar Road. Call 275-5600 or powerhousesolar.com.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support, as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more
pirate secret to the rescue. Pirate secret to the rescue. Pirate secret to the rescue. Pirate secret's gonna rescue you.
Pirate Secret essential oils can be purchased in Reading at Orchard Nutrition, Enjoy the Store, Country Organics, in Chico at SS Produce, Arcata in Wildberries, and online at piratesecret.com.
Carl's Jr. presents The Breakfast That Got Away.
It's been 5 years since our last morning together. I still remember your smell, your taste. I can't move on. My heart will wait as long as...
The wait is over! Carl's Jr.'s chorizo biscuit and burrito are back on the breakfast menu. Get spicy chorizo, egg, and pepper jack cheese on a made-from-scratch biscuit. Or all of that wrapped in a warm tortilla with crispy hash browns and fresh-made salsa. Get the chorizo biscuit and burrito today at Carl's Jr. Available for a limited time at participating locations.
Hey, guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. I'm talking with William Pullen. We're talking about credibility in the UFO community. So, William, you know, how do we navigate this? You know, what do we do? How do we move forward? You know.
I'm taking that question as from a researcher standpoint. We have to maintain a high level of integrity, objectivity. We can't be biased. We need to just look at the data objectively and go where the data leads us. That's one angle. Two, in our interactions with the public, we have to be highly professional. Anything less paints us all in a bad light. If you have one individual that acts less than professional, it makes the entire field look less than professional, which is, even in society, one bad cop makes all the rest of the cops look bad.
Right.
That's a good analogy.
It is a good analogy.
If you have one individual acting the fool, well, then the rest are assumed to be this in the same light, and that's completely incorrect. So we need to all be highly professional in our interactions.
The cop thing is a great comparison, because I think that the law enforcement community is having this problem. You know, how does the community deal with a bad apple? You know, because If you don't support your own community, you can destroy it. But if you overly support your own community, you can sabotage everything and cause problems along the way. You know, so as part of the research community, you know, how do you deal with the bad apples?
You have to hold them accountable for their actions. And I'm going to come off as overly critical of MUFON here, but MUFON as an organization has been around 50 years. They've done a great job collecting data. They have made the UFO issue more accessible to the public. But in recent years, there have been developments in the higher organization, statements and posts in social media made by certain individuals, and those individuals were not held accountable for their actions. And when an organization drags their feet addressing such a negative issue, it paints the organization in a bad light, makes them look, again, less than professional.
Right, yeah.
So when that situation comes up, it has to be addressed immediately and in a professional manner. It cannot be swept under the rug. It cannot be ignored. Because, again, when that's ignored, it paints the whole field in a bad light. And if there's one thing about the UFO field is, in the past few decades, since the beginning of this whole enigma, the UFO topic has always struggled for legitimacy. It's always struggled to have some level of respect, not just from the public, but from the scientific community. But when you have less than professional behavior in these kind of situations going on, it's going to perpetuate that problem. It's going to make it worse. And we can't, that kind of behavior cannot be acceptable. It cannot be tolerated. It has to be addressed, and solutions need to be found quickly to alleviate that issue. That's not happening right now. It isn't.
Yeah, and frankly, I think it's probably going to get worse before it gets better, because we seem to live in a world that fuels this kind of attitude, you know, a world where,
as the
people who walk in the darker corners, what my wife would refer to as the dark web, you know, it's more her adjective for anything that's off the beaten path now. You know, we walk in these worlds where, like, Pat Robertson or something is selling, like, post-apocalyptic sludge food. Is it Pat Robertson? I don't know.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, so I think it's going to get worse until it gets better. Now for the non-researcher, for the average Joe that's out there, but they're curious and they want to know more, you know, I'm sure there's a gray area before you become a researcher and while you're just an enthusiast, you know, how do they navigate it?
Do your homework. When you find things on the internet, you want to research, not research, but look into the information. Is it valid? Do you find it from other sources? Is it relatively accurate? Is it portraying what happened or not happened? When you buy a book from a researcher or see a lecture or go to a conference, do a little homework into the background of that researcher. And what is their take? What is their point of view? It gives you a perspective about the topic. And then read, not just computer generated information, read books. Read something physical. Read reports. Read peer-reviewed papers that are out there available from different organizations about this topic, and go from there. I mean, none of us have any of the answers to this enigma, including researchers. We don't. All we have is data. So it's always a positive thing to simply educate oneself. And we're all learning, or we all should be learning as we go forward. So yeah, just gobble up information and do a little bit of homework to find out if the information is valid, and enjoy the process. I mean, it's almost like going to school without the trouble of having to have homework.
Right.
So,
well, I've been curious about this. You talking about reading, and I know you have a nice collection of UFO books. That what book would you say has the most not opinion-wise, but for somebody getting interested, the most snippets of government documents and explanations of situations that really sort of lays it out there in a scientific way for people? What book would you point them to?
Hmm. I guess I'll name three. One is the report on unidentified flying objects by Edward Ruppelt, the former lead, the former commander of Project Blue Book. That's from 1956. It's still available. I think it's on Amazon, but available in audiobook. It's out there. You can actually find it in some of the used bookstores. I would highly recommend the UFO Dossier by Kevin D. Randall. That came out in 2014 or 16. It's pretty recent. It's a thick piece of work, and it examines the UFO topic from a worldwide perspective. And Kevin is a very objective, grounded, non-biased guy. So he's not going to confirm any belief systems. He's just going to simply provide the data and go from there. And from a historical perspective, I would recommend, it's one of two books by John G. Fuller. John G. Fuller was a journalist. He passed away in the 90s. But he wrote two of the greatest books in the UFO field, The Interrupted Journey, about the Betty Barney Hill case, and Incident at Exeter, which is about the 1965 multiple witness UFO sightings in Exeter, New Hampshire. Both those books are written in a highly journalistic, objective way. Any of those four books, I think you can't go wrong with that.
Sounds good. It's a good starting point. Yeah. You know, I've been thinking about getting one. I've been thinking about actually reading a book.
Do it.
I read so much online that, like, the idea of reading a book makes me want to scratch my eyes out. But I think if I were to read more paper, hopefully I would read less screen.
No, you got to attack it. Do it.
Right.
I agree. Yeah.
All right, you've been listening to William Pullen here on Radio Wasteland. Don't forget to check him out in UFO Real, a historical review. Search that up on Facebook. I'm sure it's the only one. And search him up, William Pullen, UFO historian, also on Facebook. If you want to know more, find out more, and find a lot of great information. And, William, thank you very much for being on the show.
Thanks, Chauncey, again, for everything.
All right, talk to you soon. You've been listening to Radio Wasteland. Thank you for checking us out.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.